Hello and welcome back to the Handstand Cast. Without Emmett Lewis, he's fired. I fired him 10 minutes ago. So all you are left with is me rambling into the void alone. Basically, we're supposed to cast. Emmett got busy with things and house and family stuff. I'm left here and I'm going to talk to you about, handstand-related stuff. So, the main topic for today's episode is, as the title of this episode, Rest in Peace. A little bit of just a kind of some thoughts and reflections around a recent wrist injury I had and kind of... talking a little bit about the most annoying joint in the entire body when it comes to handstands. And I think basically everyone who's been on their hands for a while, you've probably experienced something with the wrists at some point, because, I mean, they're not really a joint that's built to be stood on as the foot is. And I mean, if you walk around your entire life, you're going to probably like sprain your ankle too. Here we are trying to stand on two or on one arm or jump on the hands and all kinds of stupid stuff. So basically, like, you're going to be challenging the tolerance of the joint, and you'll be challenging the tolerance of your entire body, of course, at any given time when you're training handstands. So it's just important to remember that, like, you're probably not gonna get away from it, you're probably going to experience it. So it's kind of almost better to just brace for it and know that it's a thing that can and likely will happen. One thing I'm very opposed to is this, like, these kind of theories of various mystical ways to bulletproof the body so that you'll never be injured. And I just don't think that is feasible. Like, there is no scientific evidence for such. And, like, you getting injured or not is going to mainly just come up to, or, like, it's going to come up to luck. And it's going to come up to if you're kind of going outside of your body's current tolerance. Like, if you're going further than the tissues can handle, well, then the tissues might get sprained or injured. And that can happen, like, immediately, such as if you fall down some stairs. You're going to probably get, like, an acute kind of overreach of your body's tolerance in various places. Or if you keep on standing on your hands day in, day out without enough rest, and then kind of, just push yourself too far, like, over a period of time, then you're going to end up with, like, or then you might end up with a chronic injury. And chronic doesn't necessarily mean that it lasts forever. I used to think that before, chronos, it must has to do with time. It probably lasts forever, while it's more something that, like, kind of develops over time. And of course, it could take a while to get back to kind of a baseline where you can practice again. And that's, of course, the very annoying part, because most people who practice handstands enough to get injured in the wrists are probably a giant nerd who struggles to not stand on the hands and has a tendency to perhaps overtrain even, but mainly because people like it. Like, it's interesting, it's fun, and it's a good activity. And due to that, it can be also pretty difficult to kind of leave it alone when you need to. And it can also be, like, hard to just know whether or not you are kind of passing over, like, or going too far. And I think that's maybe, like, one of the hardest things to know, because it's not very consistent always in terms of, like, for example, like, I got a wrist injury that, like, is basically on the verge of healing up now after a month. It's not been that bad. Like, a month in the grand scheme of things is not a long time. But, like, several months back, I did a full rehearsal run and performances of Vald, the handstand show.
And that show is incredibly heavy on the hands. Like, there is so much hand standing. We were rehearsing so much. We're on the hands constantly for like several days in a row, loads of long holds, loads of kind of like endurancey stuff, lot like, and it's not a show where you can be too nice to your hands, because you're like, you have to go up on counts in the music, and like everyone is doing things at the same time, so you need to go, so like your forearm is pumped as hell and blasted, and you just have to kind of keep going through it. And to be able to do that show, like all of us that are in it, we need to be very conditioned, we need to be like ready for it. Like, playing that show with a wrist injury is undoable. But through that show, it went fine. Like, I was like going pretty hard, and it was great. Like, wrists were feeling fine. Like, I mean, it was very tiring, of course. So, but like, then it was at least 3 weeks after that. Like, I was gonna go. I was gonna go to Netherlands to visit my girlfriend, and then I had to film a few videos for like some online coaching stuff, just very basic stuff. So I went to my training place in the circus hall in the morning, because I needed to shoot like some kick ups to handstand. There was like some tuck ups and straddle ups and pike ups and a few presses on two arms. So I was a bit short on time, so I didn't like really take the time to warm up my wrists properly. So I went onto the hands a bit faster than I normally would have for a proper practice, and like, it didn't feel super good, but I was also like, okay, well, it's just a couple of two arms, whatever. So I didn't really take it too seriously. I did the things I was supposed to, left, didn't think anything more of it, like a bit sore in the wrists, but like nothing too bad. Then like 2 days later, I did a few handstands, a few one arms. Wrist was also like a bit sore, but like nothing major. I was like, oh well, this is nothing to even think about. I was just like, there's no point doing handstands today, I thought, because they're a bit sore. And then I take 3 days off. I don't put my hands on the ground even. And then so that was a Friday. I take Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. Travel to Norway to play shows. With a different show. And then I wake up in the morning and I was like, hey, my hand's dead, absolutely wrecked. And I like it was painful to grab the sheet or like the duvet and pull it off me in bed. I was like, what the hell has happened to my hand? Like, it was like, usually wrist pain that I have from handstands doesn't even relate to kind of rotating the wrist, but this one was painful in all directions from seemingly nothing. I guess it had to do with those not warmed up handstands. That's the only correlation I can see, seeing as I hadn't had a very intense period before that, and it was weeks on since I'd done the Valj shows. But there I was, having to go the same morning and play a double show, and play many double morning shows with a wrist that just didn't work. I couldn't put the hand on the floor. Luckily, that show is not so handstand intensive. It's much more kind of performative and kind of playful and stuff. And whatever handstands I would do with my left hand on the floor and the fist on the right hand, so that I could get up onto my hands, and then I would do one arms on the left arm, like a little bit. So I got through the show without making it significantly worse. But damn, it's been, yeah, nearly a month, and it's still not great. But it's just that thing where that you can't really expect it always. Like, the for me though, the most consistent way of getting injured wrists is that thing of not warming up properly. That's where I've seen the most consistent issues for myself. That sort of thing where you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna throw off a couple of handstands now, or like I'm like fucking handstand pictures, which I very rarely do anymore, but like that sort of stuff where you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna do something, and you go up without, like, you don't have any readiness, like you're not sharp, you're not focused, and like you haven't put some weight on your hands before you go and you put 100% of the weight on your hands, like that kind of stuff. And that's also something I found very interesting through the years, that like if I've done a warm up during the day, I've gotten my body into the state of being able to handstand smoothly without any issues in the wrists, then it
it goes very quickly to get back there afterwards, like later on. So, for example, my warm-up routine for like some of the heavier shows that I do, I always do like I do a little bit of kind of training or like kind of getting into the body, light training like about 2 hours before the show. And then about an hour before the show, I stop. I have some snacks maybe or some coffee or like I rest up a little bit. And then I chill until very close to show time where I stretch a bit and kind of like get a bit ready. I stand on two arms for a couple of times. And I don't need a lot of time there. It's very quick and that little segment of time I need kind of that second time to get the wrists ready. Then as if I've kind of established a baseline. Also, of course, I know their tolerance of that day. But if I'm in the normal state, it usually means that like, yeah, but then like a quick five minutes of like putting some weight on them before starting to handstand usually works out pretty well. But yeah, I do think that like most people you see that are pretty experienced on the hands, they will tell you the same thing, that like warming up the wrists matter a lot. And of course, what that means to each person is it's different. Like some people really have a lot of exercises they do, because that's the thing with warm up and all of these things. I was thinking about that when it comes to like there I was like reading some like pain science stuff and like placebo, blah blah blah, all these different things, because there is something to the thing of like you need to do something so that you feel good. Like if the thing you do makes it feel good to do handstands, then you're probably doing something that works. Obviously you also need some data on it. So if you've done something that feels good for exactly 2 weeks, you know nothing because you have no data. But if you've done that for several years and you kind of know that, okay, if you stay within a certain boundary, then you're fine. Well, like making sure you kind of have that kind of warm-up ritual of kind of getting that readiness for the task at hand is super important. And that doesn't necessarily mean like doing skipping rope or going for a run, even though like one of the best hand balancers I know, Tony, Antonio Panaro, he skips, he does some skipping rope before he warms, like during his warm up and stuff when I've performed with him. So each to his own. Everyone has their own kind of routines on like how they want to get into it. But it's very important that like you find one that's consistent and that makes sure that you're kind of you basically reduce the likelihood of doing stuff the body isn't ready for in the moment. So I guess that's really like a lot what it comes down to. But like especially wrists and like I mean I've thought a lot about it, like with kind of the anatomy of the wrist and stuff, because it's like I am not a I'm not an expert on how it actually looks inside, and like I'm not a physiotherapist or anything, but I mean I do have a bunch of experience in how it feels to stand on my own hands. So even though it's anecdotal, I need to take my own experience seriously. But it's an incredibly kind of it's a small joint for like supporting all the weight on, and it's very like it's kind of there's so much stuff going through this hand, like so much nerves and so many kind of course. Veins and tendons, and like it's a very complex thing, and it's like loads of tiny bones in there and individual anatomies to it, of course, too, because like the bones are not going to be shaped to the millimeter the same for each person. So there's loads of things that you're going to have to consider with the wrists and kind of both or like that's why I think it's especially important that you kind of find a routine around kind of dealing with your wrists that work for you. And I guess if I would give like a general rule, if you're kind of new to it or if like you're a bit uncertain how to approach it, do more warm up rather than less. Meaning that like make sure you articulate the wrist joint a lot in different directions, that you load the muscles a little bit, either using bands or using weights or whatever, so that you feel that you're kind of like working all of kind of the tendons and muscles and stuff are in the area. Of course, them actual muscles sit much more up in the forearm than like in directly inside the wrist itself. But basically, I mean, like it's pretty proven, like scientifically as well, that like moving the joints around and like making the muscles contract and relax and contract and relax helps with kind of readiness for the task. And of course, warm up is also a whole hormonal process with kind of like the entire endocrine system getting involved and like releasing the appropriate chemicals into your body to make you be both physical, like both the mental readiness, but there's also like physiological shit that happens when you are warming up. So doing more rather than less, I think, is just, it's a very general thing, of course, to say, but I think it's appropriate still. And then the main thing, which at least for me seems to be, because for the most part, I have pretty good wrists. It's pretty rare that like they get busted like this. It's been like, I mean, 5 years or something since I had like a wrist injury of this level of significance. I've had many that like, oh yeah, I have a little bit of wrist pain, and then I just need to not do one arms and one of the arms for like 4 days, and then it's a bit better, and then like it kind of goes away. But this one has been like, I could not handstand for like, if I would have done like one single flat hand handstand on the ground like a week ago, I probably would have made it several orders of magnitude worse. Yeah, but the thing that I was going to say when I started ranting was that like applying, like thinking about like the warming up process as like a process of readiness, or like getting ready for the task. And the most important, like you're going to carry 100% of weight of your weight on your hands. So you need to find ways of scaling that from zero, which is when there's no weight, until you're on your hands. So very simple way of doing this is just like you put your hands on the floor. For example, you're sitting kneeling and you put both hands on the floor and you lean your shoulders over your hands a little bit. Like, let's say a knee push-up position or a push-up position, or similar things where you incrementally can add the weight onto your hands. It's a pretty practical way of just also kind of just establishing a bit of like, just getting a feeling, okay, well, how's my wrist feeling today? Like, I'm going to go and train after I recorded this podcast. And like, the first thing I'm going to do is like, I'm going to put my hands on the floor and be like, okay, how does this wrist feel today? How far front can I go with the shoulder? Like, not into planche, of course, but like, how can I put, the shoulder directly over the hand in my handstand position in a push-up position? If I can, that means something. Okay, I can deal with that amount of load. And if that is very comfortable and I do that several times and it kind of feels good, maybe I'll kick up into a flat hand handstand. If it doesn't feel fully good, I'll use like an angled block that I have, which I'll also talk about a little bit afterwards. But yeah, just like using kind of like lower loads, just as if you'd go in and you if you're lifting weights or something, like it usually makes sense to warm up with a lift that you're going to do, but you warm up with a less intense version of it. That seems also to be very tried and tested. Like if someone is going to squat heavy, then they're not going to go and do like a long like sprint or like run for an hour. Like they're going to go in and lift the bar and then more and then more and get feel ready, and then they're going to lift heavy. So here it's basically like I put some weight, I put more weight, I put a bit more. Okay, I feel ready. You do a handstand. So, and of course, if you do a one arm, well, like it's pretty smart to do a couple of two arms before you do that one arm, because like then you're like you increase the readiness, and also you're you will feel it. Like, okay, if the wrist is already not feeling great on two arms, well, you have your warning. You know that doing a one arm is not going to be smart, so maybe you just will avoid it compared to just going up and just quickly shifting over to one arm and like, ouchie, that wasn't smart. Wow. Yeah. So yeah, having like some various or having that as kind of like a baseline thing, I think is pretty useful for dealing with the wrists. Other things as well is, of course, like What I've been using lately is a slanted block, basically a block that's kind of like I've done some jank solutions, first of all, where I just took blocks and I put a little piece of wood underneath the back of the block, or a book underneath the back of the block, which makes the block be at an angle, which takes off some pressure from the wrist, because very often there is a strong correlation between like how painful or how bad it feels in the wrist and how much angle is in the wrist. So the more the closer the wrist is to like 90 degrees, like in a normal handstand position with fingers facing forwards, the worse it can be for a lot of people. Using an angle block can be useful for that. Alternatively, if you're not used to blocks, it can also do the same, like take a wooden board, put a book under, like a couple of books or something underneath one of the sides, or even like build one of those boards where like one side is like higher up, so that like your wrist will be able to be at an angle. So I mean, interestingly enough for me, like I find it pretty hard to one arm or like to handstand there compared to flat floor. I guess it's a preference thing and like a habit thing, because I've seen extremely good hand balancers that are way better than I'll ever be, that basically performed one cane routines on a sloped block. So it's obviously like a preference thing, I think, to a high degree, but it can be pretty useful for at least for like periods of time where you're struggling with the wrists. You also, of course, have parallettes, which can like, or parallel bars, stuff like that you can balance on. Now in my case, it felt okay on parallel bars, but it actually felt less good than on the slope block for whatever reason. It was something about like the way that you have to rebalance with the wrists on the bars that was not that it wasn't so happy about, while on the sloped surface, it seemed fine. So again, individual stuff that, but it can be very, very useful to access or to be able to use when you're struggling with it or when you're returning from injury. So another thing too in relation to that, which is like about returning from injury, which I think is pretty important and seems also to be pretty backed up like scientifically, is that like, I mean, if you're going like to rebuild capacity after injury, or even if like build capacity from nothing, you need to load the movement or the articulation or the muscles, whatever involved, because they need something to kind of adapt to. The body's great at adapting to the forces, so you need to apply some forces on it. So that's also one thing that I've found a lot, that it's very important that you actually do load the wrists a little bit when you are recovering from them. That's not to say, like, I think many injuries can also just heal up by just doing nothing. Like that's for sure something that isn't unlikely at all. But it seems, at least from my experience, that to be able to return from to handstanding, it can be good to kind of, if you just imagine like kind of a, if you imagine that like when you're in your normal state and you're able to handstand a lot, well, then your tolerance is high. Like you can deal with a lot, it's not a problem. And then you get injured, boom, then your tolerance is very low. And it's important to just like take that seriously. Now your tolerance is not where it was. It just isn't. And then if you take your time to incrementally build up from a very low level and upwards, that's going to be a like quite a safe way to progress, and you'll kind of be able to keep track on where you're at, because you're never going full on. And that can have to do with, like, for example, with the angled block as I've been using, like I've been decreasing the amount of angle a little bit to use that as one parameter. But the main parameter I use is like how much time per session do I actually spend on the hand. So like yesterday when I did stuff, maybe I like two arms on the slope block felt completely fine.
But one arms was also okay, but let's see, I was maybe on one arm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe 7 or 8 times I had all my weight on one arm. That is quite a few times compared to what I would do. Like 7 or 8 times is like if I do an endurance set, that is like one endurance set maybe. And a hell of a lot shorter time. So if I don't know how many total seconds I was on that arm yesterday, but it was pretty few seconds. And I'm pretty sure that if I would have kind of overstayed my welcome on the arm yesterday, it would have felt the worst today, but it doesn't. It feels better. So obviously then I'm within the the limits of what I can recover from easily. And kind of like the pain threshold is also kind of like kind of going backwards a little bit then. So I think this is like important, because obviously like you need to load the joint, so then but loading it in a safe and successive slow manner when returning from injury is like, yeah, it's pretty sensible. I'm not saying anything new there, but it's really it's worth considering. And like especially like, okay, so what kind of ways can you scale it? You can scale it with angle or with parallel bars. You can scale it with how many times you stand on it, or how many seconds you're actually on that arm compared to normal. So then you have a baseline, and then you can increase, and before soon you'll kind of be back to normal. Then there is also like maybe the most annoying thing with wrists that I've come across. I'm very lucky with wrists, as I said. Like, I haven't had too many wrist injuries. I'd say like within, like in relation to how much bullshit I've done with my wrists, they've done very, very well. But I know some people that like they are quite limited by their wrists to how much they can practice. And at least a couple of people I know that have been like, that really, really wanted to train a lot more than they could, but their wrist just held them back. And that sucks. Like, it does. And it's unfair. Like, wrists are unfair. Like, as I said, they're not even constructed completely the same, obviously, because, like, we are just made out of DNA that just turns us into flesh monsters with bone pieces inside. But yeah, it's not the same for everyone. You also, of course, have like stuff such as ganglion cysts that can happen. They're also completely random. I think according to like, I don't think they have like a specific cause even. They can happen to basically anyone. But obviously, people that use their wrists a lot, it seems that they get them more often, which would kind of make sense. But I've had a few as well. Had one, what was that, last year? Had one kind of on the side of my wrist on the left hand, like down from the thumb. And it didn't hurt a whole lot. Like when I would flex the thumb, one of the tendons was kind of touching it, which was a bit uncomfortable. And it was like a hard bump. And it kind of like grew and then like shrank and stuff until like I played the show and I ran into the truss, like this metal piece. I just smacked my hand into it. I was like, oh, fuck. And I actually hit it. And then like it disappeared. I haven't seen it since. That's not to say that you should be beating the shit out of your ganglions, even though it is one of the ways that some people deal with them is to break them on purpose. I don't want to recommend that because I don't think that is necessarily going to turn out well. What happened to me was like kind of just, I didn't want to smack my hand into the thing. It just happened to happen and it hit the thing. But I also know people who've had to have surgeries from ganglions because like the ganglion was then sitting in a place where it stopped the flexion of the wrist to such a degree that like, it had to be surgically removed. Several people have had that done and been able to return to basically full practice afterwards, even painless. So, like, And I guess like there are also conservative therapy methods in terms of like kind of retraining or like taking a step back, blah blah blah, that could be done, though I'm not an expert on it. And I'm sure that in certain scenarios, like there it literally becomes so that there is almost like a bone piece that is just sitting in the way of the flexion of the wrist, and then well then you just cannot do anything with or like you can't flex the wrist past a certain point. So yeah, they suck. Pretty shitty joint, but it's all we have when we have them. Except you can also do like, because I do think, at least for me, not everyone is as obsessive as I am, but since it's such a big part of my life to do all these things, I know that I easily get frustrated and easily want to get back to handstands too fast when I have these kind of things. I want to kind of try it or test this and stuff. But this time, I must say, I've been very creative and good in general about the wrist injury. Of course, it's been quite frustrating at times, and I've been like worried if I can play the upcoming show that I'm going to be doing and blah blah blah. But for the most part, I just decided that okay, well, there is this fucked. I can't stand on it whatsoever. So I started thinking, okay, can I just like find some other project now that'll take my attention and that I can spend some time on while the wrist is recovering. So I started doing a little bit of kind of aerial strap stuff again, that like some things that I haven't trained on that for like years. Just to like, okay, that's a bit of like, it's something to do and it's something that's enjoyable. It's something that has a similar nature to the things that I do like about hand balancing. Of course, the physical practice, the kind of learning element, all of that stuff. And then you're just like trying to kind of swap that out with with something else. And also the other thing I did, and which I've done in the past too when I've been injured, is elbow stands. So I've been practicing like my one arm elbow stand quite a lot, which is fucking hard, but quite fun to do. And to me, those things act as ways of like keeping the physical practice, of course, keeping in shape in like in a directly related way to like my handstand practice. And yeah, it makes me more patient, or that's actually wrong. It's just some I'm not the point is that I guess I do all that because I'm not patient. But it makes me it's at least a coping mechanism. And it's quite a positive one, because then instead of like being like annoyed and frustrated about it, it's like, okay, well, now let's just focus the energy on doing something else. And that's not always easy. Like, as I said, I've had days where I've been very frustrated and flustered and like, oh, God damn it about this. It's been a little bit more productive, I would say, than many other times I've had similar injuries, where yeah, I actually got a bit better at my one arm elbow stands. I relearned how to do elbow hops, like jumping on one elbow, and yeah, started rebuilding my like meat hook stuff in on aerial straps. So all of that, like, yeah, it amounts to something. And yeah, the wrist, of course, it'll probably be back to business within maybe a week. So in the end, it's not too bad. So yeah, if you have been struggling or are currently struggling with the wrists, or anticipate that you will at one point, like, remember that like it's, for the most part, it will heal up. That's the number one thing. It's unlikely that it's broken beyond repair. What is going to make it take longer is if you test it and keep kind of pushing it when you shouldn't. Make sure you warm up well.
and kind of look upon that kind of like it's a game of tolerance. Like, how much can it deal with now? Figure that out and slowly rebuild from there rather than going back and like testing it at its maximal capacity constantly. So, yeah. Also, distract yourself with other shit. Definitely helpful. Like, I think more people that train handstands should learn elbow stands and all these other kind of things anyway, because it's like just fun ways of spending time upside down. And not every single piece of upside downiness needs to be done in like the straight, stacked, nice handstand shape that is popular on internet. There's a bunch of other things to do, and why not go and like explore a little bit of those realms, if especially if you're then having like something that's like not great with the wrists. So yeah, wrist in peace.
The Handstand Cast is brought to you by Handstand Factory and is produced by Motion Impulse. Thanks for tuning in. You can find a full transcript of each episode along with the show notes and any relevant references on handstandfactory.com/podcast. Thanks to Isaac for editing and Jordan for transcriptions. Music by Daniel Horwath. If you want to support the show, you can buy us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com or consider starting one of our Handstand Factory online programs. Links are in the show notes.